Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're back. I hope that you had a great weekend. It's time to kick off another week with a fun trip report. Listener Kim is standing by to talk about a great trip. She stayed club level at the Grand Floridian Resort, had dinner at Tiffin's and Victoria and Albert's, even met Joe Rohde. Lots to talk about here in just one second. A quick word first from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the very best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the cost of a couple of my favorite ice cream sandwiches over at Sleepy Hollow, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. Tell Len we said hello. They're over at touringplans.com. A huge thank you to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link to support the Be Our Guest podcast. We appreciate that so very much. Bookmark the site. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits, and it really does help support the show with each and every purchase. Again, please use our link. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1475 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at The Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. I hope that this show finds you doing great. You know, it is a Monday and a lot of folks say, you know, you got a case of the Mondays, but let's flip that around this week and let's just take this Monday by the horns, make it a great week. It's spring. It's a great time of the year. Just make this week awesome. Make somebody's day today. And let's kick it off in a good way. Talking Disney and a great Disney trip report. I think this one's going to be one for the ages. I cannot wait. So let's get into it. Standing by up in Pennsylvania, we have listener Kim joining us. Kim, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. So this is going to be a heck of a trip. I can tell you, I've never done a trip like this, and I've done many, many trips down to Central Florida.
It was kind of one of those once-in-a-lifetime sort of trips.
Okay, well, I can't wait to talk about it. I kind of teased it in the ad read at the top of the show so folks know where we're going with this. But let me ask you this before we dive into the trip report stuff. I've been trying to do this with our listeners over the past couple to 3 months. I just like to give people's backstory. You know, you're listening to a Disney podcast. You're sharing your trip today on the show. What is it? Like, what is your backstory? Why do you like Disney so much?
Well, I've been going to Disney since my first trip was when I was 18 months old.
Okay.
That was back in, I want to say 91.
Okay. You're a lot younger than I am.
Yeah. But it's one of those things, like, it's been a part of my life.
That's
for as long as I can remember.
So you've grown up with Disney. So is it something that it's not just the Disney trips, but, you know, Disney's kind of a central thing back home in Pennsylvania. And it's just something kind of the family talks about all the time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My grandma's actually been going since 77.
Wow. Nice. So what if you could go back in time to something that's missing today that you liked from years past, what do you miss the most?
Oh, that's a real tough one. I'd say the great movie ride, but a lot of those trips, the early trips, I don't really remember much. I do remember swimming in River Country, though. That's...
Oh, wow.
One of my earlier memories.
Wow. That's the original water park. That'd have been fun.
Yeah.
That would have been a good time. Yeah. Well, it's always interesting to kind of get everybody's backstory because, you know, some people like me didn't get to go down to like college age. And then you got folks like you that have been going since they were in diapers. I think that is so cool to hear, you know, where everything came from. But let's go ahead and jump into your trip we want to talk about today. So tell us about this trip. When did you go? Where did you stay? Then we'll get into the planning and all the details and all the fun stories.
We went April of 2018, right at Earth Day. So I was there for Animal Kingdom's 20th anniversary.
Okay.
Stayed at Grand Floridian club level.
Wow.
Which was insane. Like, Oh my gosh.
So how do you land on deciding to stay club level at the Grand? I mean, that is the Grand is kind of the nicest hotel on property. Then you're taking it even to the next level even more.
The Grand Floridian, that's kind of like my grandma's hotel. That's where she remembers staying when she first started going, and that's where all the memories are held for her.
Okay.
So that we were going to stay there no matter what. And then I'm an annual pass holder, and we needed an ADA room, a disability room, because she's in a scooter and okay. a wheelchair. So when I called down, it was actually cheaper to do the ADA room club level than it was non-club level with the annual pass discount. So it was kind of a no-brainer.
Wow. That's a happy, that's a good happenstance there, I guess they could say, yeah. I guess you could say. Now let me ask you about staying at the Grand, because I've only stayed there one night, and it was just for the Toy Story media event. They put us up there, and I was super excited because I never thought in my whole life I'd get to stay at the Grand, and I was just I had a view of the castle out my window. I was a kid in a candy store for 24 hours. So what was the stay like? Club level, you're in the main building, are you not? For the most part, the club level rooms are right there in the main building instead of the outer buildings.
No, there's actually an entire building. I want to say it's Sugarloaf, but I'm not sure which one it is anymore. That is club level, the whole outer building.
Nice. Okay, so what did you think of, let's just talk about the room itself. For somebody that's staying there, you know, because the rooms are similar, the services are, you know, different on club level, but what did you think in general of the resort, club level or not?
It brings back those... It's part of its nostalgia for me. I can go in there when I'm not staying there and get as emotional as when I'm actually staying there. But the hotel rooms are the best I've stayed at on property. The beds, there must be like a 2-inch, if not bigger, mattress topper on it, and you just sink into it.
I did. I remember, you know, and I think a lot of folks like me, you know, because I'll be honest, you know, like we grew up as a family over at Pop Century for the longest time. Yeah. And then like a huge splurge for us was staying over at Riverside or Coronado. I mean, that was, you know, the moderates were our deluxe and the values were kind of their fine hotels. So that's what we did. So that one night I was at the Grand Floridian, I had this preconceived notion that it was, you know, I'd be staying in like grandma's attic or something, you know, something like it was really old lady. And the thing was, when I went to the room was Victorian, but it was like you said, I mean, the bed was like, oh, it just swallowed you up. It was so comfortable. And the amenities, as you would expect, were just plush and deluxe, but it didn't seem like, you know, old fashioned old lady to me. It seemed just very nice.
Exactly. So that's the perfect way to describe it.
So is this someplace that it's always on your radar if you go again, or is it somewhere, do you tend to move around to different resorts to get different themes and experiences, or how's that go for you?
I move around when I go down. I've done the music, movies, and pop, French Quarter, and I'm excited for July. I'm going to stay 2 nights at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Oh, you've never stayed there before?
Nope.
Oh, you're going to love it. It's such a great resort. I mean, it's so Disney. It's just, as tempting as the theme parks are, here's what I found when I stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge is that I love going to the theme parks. I love spending some time at Magic Kingdom, Epcot Studios, and Animal Kingdom. But the thing is, when I get in there and it gets crowded or it gets hot, I'm just like, there's so much cool stuff I could be doing back at the hotel. And you're going to find
exactly.
that it's a destination in itself. You're going to have a good time.
I'm super excited for that.
So tell me about why you chose April. Was it just like it worked out in the schedule, or was it because April's a great time to go? The weather is just about perfect in Florida then.
It is. My grandma, she was 88 at the time. She'll be 89 in August. So we had to pick a time when the weather was temperate. And it just, there was no real planning behind it. That was just when it worked out.
Okay, good. Well,
I didn't even realize that it was over Animal Kingdom's 20th anniversary until a couple weeks before.
And I want to say I was down there at the same time last April when this was happening, because I was down for the, we had a training with the travel agency, and I also ran the Star Wars half marathon, which I believe was that same weekend that Animal Kingdom had that. Yeah, yeah. So, hey, we could have crossed paths. You never know. I wasn't at the Grand that time. I was over at the Wilderness Lodge. But so good time to go. Let's get back into the planning, though. How do you typically plan? Because you're an experienced traveler to Walt Disney World. You know the ins and the outs. So walk us through your strategy, because I think everybody kind of does it a little bit differently, but we can all learn from each other. So how do you go about putting together a great Disney vacation?
Well, this was sort of last minute for me. I've done really last minute trips like 3 weeks before, but this was it was less than 180 days out. Which I usually start before 180 days because of dining reservations.
Okay, so you are one of the big planners. Like, I'll be honest, I'm going, you know, here in a few weeks and I still don't have any ADRs. We're just going to do counter service or we'll sit down somewhere where we can get in. You know, it's not that big a deal, but I understand, you know, just different things. I think that I do it so much for my guests all day long that sometimes I neglect my own trips. But in the end, I always have a fun time anyway. It doesn't matter. But I like that you're setting yourself up for success. You know what it takes, and you put in the elbow grease to make sure you have a great trip.
Yeah, especially traveling with an elderly person, you kind of have to have at least some things, like going back to the hotel in the middle of the afternoon to take a rest, or making sure you have enough time in air conditioning. Because even though April's not as hot as, say, July or August, it's still pretty hot.
That's a great thing to consider. Now, was it just you and your grandma, or was there anybody else with you?
My dad came with on this trip, but I have done trips with just the two of us.
So do you find anything to be extraordinarily challenging in a situation like that? Because I know Ricky went down with her grandma a few years back, but her mom was also with her. So it was like the three generations of girls in their family. And she still talks about that trip. She loved having her grandma there and her mom there. They had the best time. But, you know, for somebody that's considering taking somebody, you know, like a grandma, a grandparent, what would you tell them so that they can be better prepared?
Don't overplan is what I learned, because anything can happen. Like, say, depending on how, like, my grandma would just get tired and we'd go back to the hotel room. So then anything I had planned suddenly didn't happen. So instead of super planning and then it comes up like, oh, we can't go on this or we can't do that. You're not as disappointed saying like, oh, well, we missed out on going on this, that, or the other thing.
Well, I'd imagine too, being at the Grand Floridian is a huge advantage, being on the monorail loop, being right next to the Magic Kingdom, because if your grandma came back and needed a rest, did that mean you stayed in the room or did you go out and explore and then kind of catch up with grandma a couple hours later?
A little of both. Sometimes I needed the rest too.
Me too. I'm grandma on the trip. Trust me, I take a nap every day.
But depending, I would go out and do my own thing while she rested in the room.
Cool. That sounds like, I mean, it's a great consideration because everybody needs, you know, we just, in our regular life, we don't stand outside, you know, in Florida heat for 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours in a day. You know, you need to sit down, you need to get in air conditioning, you need to rest a little bit, or otherwise you're not on vacation. You know, you're supposed to be there to enjoy yourself, to take it easy, to get a break from life. And I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of this as anybody else, you know, sometimes I go down there and I go way harder than I do in the real life, you know, in real life.
Oh, I'm the same way. If I go down on a solo trip, I go hard and then I need a vacation from my vacation.
That's what everybody says. I know, folks. I love, you know, because I used to work in education. I taught for 17 years and, you know, inevitably there'd always be a teacher that was taking their family for the first time to Disney. And I'd tell them all the stories. I'm like, I'm telling you, you're going to come back. You're going to be exhausted. No, we're going to have a good time. You know, we're going to be on vacation. We're just going to relax and ride some rides. I'm like, okay, when you get back, we'll talk. And every time they come back, I mean, they always come back with like all these great pictures and all these great memories, but sometimes they look like they've been hit by a truck because they didn't know what to expect. I always tell them, you know, start walking before you go, you know, about a month early, start walking your neighborhood, get some miles in because you're going to do a lot of walking.
Most definitely. I think the most I've ever done is 15 miles in a day.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot.
That was a crazy day. Yeah, it is. I wasn't on this trip though. This was a slower trip.
Oh my gosh. All the way. I can imagine. Yeah, you wouldn't want to go too hard with grandma and all that. So you stayed at the Grand. So club, tell us about the club level experience. I think that's what our listeners are dying to hear about. Like, Mike, ask about club level. So what amenities did you get? What was the benefit of actually staying club level?
A lot of it comes with food and drink. I don't have the exact schedule anymore, but you get all the food. The continental breakfast is included with the price. There's tea, there's cordials, there's a whole array of desserts. They bring in like little mini desserts from all over, and you just have like this buffet of desserts from 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Which was really bad. It was really good,
That's what I was going to say. I stayed at Beach Club one night, club level, years ago, and they had the same thing. They brought in all the little mini desserts. It's very similar to Palo brunch on the Disney ships, because they'll have like 10 different little desserts, but they're like 2 bites each. You know, they're like almost like little shot glasses. I just remember I had only had one night, so I made up for it. Boy, I was like, just trying them all, and I was having multiple of each. I had the worst stomach ache, but God, I would have died happy that night.
What else is there? You get soda and water is complimentary, and there's actually a personal concierge. We stayed in the outer building. There's actually a concierge in the outer building from, I think, like 6 to 9 or something, that they'll help you with whatever you need help with.
That's a big perk, because say you're looking for a hard to get fast pass or a dining reservation at a tough to get restaurant. A lot of times they can, you're paying extra. They can make it happen for you. Now, did you take advantage of any of those services?
We tried to get a catamaran one afternoon. The problem is none of them, we couldn't get my grandma on any of them with the wheelchair. Mm. So that was the only disappointment of the trip, really.
That'd have been fun, though, I could imagine. I would never consider doing that. Like, not that I wouldn't want to do it. I've just never thought of doing that. What kind of put that in your mind to try it?
When I was younger, we used to go out. They used to do fishing on Seven Seas Lagoon, and we would go out. I have old pictures of us fishing on Seven Seas Lagoon in one of those boats. So that was kind of like the whole bringing back memories sort of thing.
I like that. You're very much like me. I'm a nostalgia person. I listen to a lot of like retro video game podcasts and like old TV shows and cartoons. I love the nostalgia. And by the way, I did some fishing a couple of years ago with one of our listeners, Mark, up in Chicago. He rented a whole pontoon boat, and about 10 of us went out fishing. We fished World Showcase Lagoon out at Epcot, and it was, I mean, my daughter pulled out a fish. It was about the size of a shark. I couldn't believe it, Paige. I was like, holy cow. And she kissed that sucker. That even surprised me. Like, my daughter's kissing a fish that's about, 2 feet long. I could not believe it. But yeah, and you know what? I don't know if you agree with me here, but I think you probably do, because with Walt Disney World, there's just so much more than theme parks. You can do so much more. And it sounds like you take those things and really run with them.
Yeah. I try to find something different to do every time I go down.
Nice.
Like just something fresh, something that I haven't done multiple times before.
And people say, oh, you're going back. But you know what? You can never do everything. So that's always my counter argument. Now I'm like, hey, what's what I do for a living? I have to go. Before I did that, it's like, I like going there. You like doing certain things. And so I don't bug you about that. And I can always have new experiences there. So let's just knock it off. It's my thing to do. I enjoy it. You do you. I'll do me. So let's talk about, because I mentioned in the ad read at the top of the show, you had some incredible dining experiences, including Tiffin's and Victoria and Albert's. So let's dive into Tiffin's first. One of the newer restaurants in a Disney theme park at Walt Disney World over at Animal Kingdom. Walk us through that experience, because you got to meet a pretty cool guest as well over there.
Yeah, for the 20th anniversary of Animal Kingdom, they were doing this series of talks called Tiffin's Talks. And I actually changed my flights so I could go to this. I want to say it was like $80 or $90 for a 4-course meal with pairing, with wine pairing at Tiffin's. And the whole time it was Joe Rohde, who is the Imagineer behind Animal Kingdom and Aulani and everything. He basically went through and told stories of his adventures and how they impacted his inspiration for different areas of Animal Kingdom. And he worked with the chefs to so that each course had something to do with what he was talking about.
Now, see, I've never seen him speak in person. Of course, I've seen him on all the, you know, Travel Channel specials and, you know, all the stuff that we've seen online, the videos. And he just seems super engaging. He's very passionate about what he does. If you follow him on Twitter, he is extremely passionate about those things that he's interested in. So did you find him in person? I mean, I've been around him once. When they debuted Rivers of Light at the media event, I sat right behind him, one row behind him. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm sitting behind Joe Rohde. But I didn't get to talk to him. He was just watching the show. But it was like my brush with fame. I was like, you know it's Joe Rohde when you see the earring. You know, it's like that. So.
Yeah.
But what was it like being there? Is he as passionate? And was he kind? What were your impressions of him?
He was wonderful. Like, he came around to, there were probably about 40 people there. It was in one of the side rooms of Tiffin's. And he came around to every table at least twice. First, he introduced himself to everyone, made sure he got to know you a little bit, like why you were there, what your name was, where you were from. And then while people were eating, like, it would be, he would tell his story, then we would eat. He would make sure he got around to every table and was like, do you have any questions for me? Just really personable and very passionate and engaging.
That's so good to hear. Because, you know, I always have these, you know, these people that I really look up to. I wouldn't call them heroes. You know, I have a different definition for heroes, but people that I admire, you know, because he's very passionate. He's brought places that I love to life. He's put them, you know, he's taken them out of his mind and made them experiences that I can have with my family. And I'm forever appreciative of that. But it's like, I'm so glad to hear that sometimes, you know, it's like you have these perceptions like, oh, if I meet this person, it would be the greatest thing. And then you find out like, well, they're not exactly as I was expecting. So it's good to hear that not only is he brilliant and one of our favorite Imagineers, he's just a good guy, it sounds like.
Definitely. It was a once in a lifetime experience that I just really had to take advantage of.
And that price doesn't even sound too bad. I mean, I know that if you're not a Disney person, if you said like 80 or 90 bucks for a meal, but I mean, if you're having a meal at Tiffin's with pairings, I mean, right there, you're almost at that price anyhow.
Yeah. And it was three glasses of wine, a glass of champagne, and then a Mustang coffee at the end.
Wow.
So it was a lot.
I can't really say it. I can't force myself to say it. It was almost a good deal.
Yeah.
For Disney. You got to know Disney, folks. And you're listening. You know how it works. You're nodding right along, I hope, today. All right. So let's talk about one other place that I have not eaten either. I've never had Tiffin's. And I've never been to Victoria and Albert's. Now, is this somewhere where you did the main dining room? Did you do chef's table? What was that like?
We did main dining room. It was 8 courses.
Oh, my mercy.
They're like little portions, but by the time you hit like 6 or 7, you're like, oh my God, what did I get myself into?
So walk us through this experience. Is this something that, of course, you know, this is the finest dining you can get on Walt Disney World property. Some of the most fine dining you can get anywhere in the United States. There's a strict dress code. You know, it's very classy. So what's the atmosphere like? What's the arrival like? What's all that?
As you said, there is the dress code, but you get in there and it was much smaller than I ever anticipated it being. There might, in the regular dining room, there might be 15 tables, if that. That's why it's so hard to get a reservation, because there are so few tables.
And then you stay there, obviously, for quite a long time if you're going to have that many courses, right?
Yeah, we were there for 3 hours, holy, give or take.
Wow. But that's neat. It's an experience.
It's one of those things. It was on my bucket list. My parents, when we would go down when I was younger, they would get a babysitter to come to the room, and then they would go to Victoria and Albert's. So it was one of those things, like, I always wanted to go, but I'm a picky eater.
And I'm glad you brought that up. So how does that work out? Because again, I think I'm pretty adventurous, just because my family, my girls only really eat like chicken nuggets and stuff, and my wife won't eat seafood. I will. So I feel like I'm the most, you know, adventurous eater in the world, but I'm probably not. I'm just a guy from the Midwest. But how did that work out for you?
I kind of forced myself to go out of my comfort zone. Like, it wasn't really out there. Like, it was, there was tuna, loup de mer, chicken, there was beef. Those were like the main courses. And I just kind of forced, you have to put your faith in the chef at that point when you're spending so much money. You just have to have faith in the chef that they really know what they're doing. That's the way I look at it, and just push yourself out of your comfort zone.
So is it something, let me ask you this, would you do it again if you had the opportunity? Was it something like a one and done, it was a bucket list, or is it something like, at the end, I'm glad I did it, and I would like to do it again?
If the opportunity ever presented itself, I would do it again, but it's so expensive.
Yeah.
I'll be like, it's just astronomical for what you get. I mean, you're paying for the atmosphere and the amazing food and the amazing service. It's just, it's so expensive.
So now the waiters and the waitresses, they go by Victoria and Albert, correct? I mean, everybody in there, that's kind of the story of the restaurant.
Yep.
And so walk us through what it's like going course to course to course. Do they come out and explain what's coming next and then bring it out and then kind of clear the table? Because the closest thing I can think of, again, I'm not a fancy dining person at all because of my family doesn't like the fancy foods. But like, you know, we've done Palo on the cruise line, and that's probably the fanciest meal I've had in my life. And, you know, they will come between courses, like kind of clear the table. There's a slower pace to things. And like the wait staff is very conversational. They're trying to explain what's happening. So I can imagine that might be how the experience is there, but probably even to a higher level, right?
Exactly. Between each course, they come and they clear the table, and then they'll explain what each one is. My dad got wine pairing with it. So then they would explain the wine that came with it. But it's, the atmosphere is unlike anything. Like, there's a harpist that plays, and she plays like Disney music, but you don't know it's Disney music until you catch the little like hook. Once upon a dream. Okay.
I love that kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff.
But it was just one of those things that I've always wanted to do, and the opportunity presented itself, so I took advantage of it.
Very cool. And plus, you were right there at the Grand Floridian. You know, it's right there in your resort. So very nice. So now let's talk real quick, because we have a few minutes left, about experiences you had in the theme parks. Your grandma was in a scooter. And so, you know, you're dealing with some mobility issues with getting from place to place and getting around the theme park. So looking back, you know, it was a year from now, just about this time last year, actually. So what stands out as far as, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly about going into the theme parks?
Well, scooters, it goes both ways. That's always a point of contention with people, like, whose fault is it when someone gets hit by a scooter? The thing is, it's like, it's so hard to get around to begin with when you can walk. But being in that piece, in like machinery, trying to get around, it's even harder than you would think. There was one night we actually took her in her wheelchair instead of the scooter because it was so crowded.
But were you still able to get everything in that you wanted to, or was it something that it was such a hindrance that you had to modify your plans or kind of, you know, dumb down your plans so that you weren't as ambitious as maybe you thought you could be?
We got on everything she wanted to get on, which was what was the most important part. Like a lot of the rides, I know in Magic Kingdom for sure, Jungle Cruise and It's a Small World, they actually have boats that she could just ride right on. Obviously, we couldn't do any thrill rides or anything, but even Kilimanjaro Safaris has a special safari truck where she could get on, just stay in her chair, and they locked her in.
And that's good to hear, because it makes it easy for everybody, because I think that it's probably rough on the cast members when somebody has to make the transfer from the chair to the ride vehicle. And when they can just, you know, somebody can just stay in their chair and roll right onto the vehicle. That's, I would say in my case, and again, I don't have the experience, maybe you can speak to this, but it seems like that's the win-win of all situations.
Oh, for sure. Like, it's less stressful on everyone involved.
Nice. So let me ask you this. What are some of your grandma's favorite attractions? I'm sure they're probably the classics, but maybe she could surprise me.
She loves the classics. Not this trip, but another trip I did with her. We got her on Haunted Mansion, which was a chore. It was really hard to get her on Haunted Mansion because she doesn't have the mobility. So she actually had to transfer into the Doom Buggy, but it is possible.
Yeah, that would be a tough one.
So when you get stuck on Haunted Mansion, it's usually because someone that needs assistance getting in the Doom Buggy is getting on because they stop the ride. And this is a little backstage magic, but when they stop it, they have a line of people that need help, and then they all get on at once.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I just know that, you know, it's like, oh, we're stopping. So when we stop, I'm like always scoping out everything. I'm like, what details can I see? Because I get a little bit more time in the spot. Yeah, I like that.
But that was the one ride. She loves Haunted Mansion, the classics. There's not much she can get on anymore. But we got her on Kilimanjaro, which she was so excited to get on that.
That ride, though, it's pretty jarring. That I don't know. I drive a Jeep Wrangler in real life, and it's rough all the time. But, I mean, when I'm sore, like, I've ridden that ride after running the marathon, and it kills me. Like, and I'm in my 40s. That's a rough ride.
It is, but she always says, I want to go on that.
I like it. Your grandma's awesome.
Oh, she is. She loved Dumbo.
Nice.
But that one's another one that's hard to get on. When we go down Soarin', we didn't get her on this trip, but she's done Soarin' before and loved it.
That's a classic. It's a new classic because it's definitely in the vein of the classics, but it's obviously 2005 or so. So let me ask you, what are some of your favorite attractions in... Do you go? I mean, I tend to go back to the classics, but I do like Soarin'. I do like Frozen Ever After Now. I do like, Space Mountain, which isn't really a classic. I mean, that's your mid-70s kind of thing. But what about for you?
Magic Kingdom, it's a toss-up between Splash Mountain and Haunted Mansion. I could ride Splash Mountain all day, every day.
I can't if it's hot.
Hollywood Studios, I'm not a big fan of, but I do like Tower of Terror and Slinky. Animal Kingdom is the Safari and Flight of Passage, if you can get on it.
Yeah, if you have the golden ticket.
Yeah. And then Epcot. Really, I like Soarin'. That's the only ride I actually really go on in Epcot.
So, now, how long were you guys there for this trip?
About 6 days.
So would you say that's just right? Too long, too short for, like going with your dad, your grandma, this time of year? What would you think?
I think it was maybe a day too long. Just because by the end, everyone is just tired and the exhaustion just starts to get to everyone and people start getting agitated.
Bed there. I know exactly what you're saying.
I would say 5 or 6 days is usually about an average.
Nice. All right. So we're running just about out of time, but let me ask you this as we close, because I think you've given lots of great information about experiences that many of us have not had. And I'm sure we're all curious about. I know I totally was, and I was excited to talk to you today. But as we close out, are there any, memories that stick with you from this trip that this was something that really surprised me? This was a fun experience that I had. I mean, leave us with one, big memory or story from this trip.
It has to be when we met Mickey in Town Square. It was Talking Mickey at the time. And my grandma, when she first went down, they had the key to the kingdom. It's actually a big key pin that has her name on it and everything. And she wears it with pride every time we go down. And we went and met Talking Mickey, and it must have been like, no exaggeration, at least 7 or 8 minutes of just us with Mickey. And like, I was starting to get emotional because like, Mickey is Disney.
Yes.
And just having such a wonderful experience that I know I'll remember forever. Mickey was just so good with Nana. Like, it's hard to describe that level of, like, magic and emotional connection. Just seeing her face light up is what really sticks with me.
Well, and two, I think that what we all hunger, especially as, you know, hardcore Disney fans, as I'm sure you are listening to the show today, that this, you know, Disney just has a place in your heart. It's a place where you can escape. It's a place where you can be with those you love, whether it's friends or family, and it just make incredible memories. But when you have an interaction like that with Mickey Mouse, you know, at Walt Disney World, and like you said, it was an extended, you know, meeting there in Town Square. One, you know, that's basically that planning video moment that everybody longs for, that in your mind's eye, you always picture happening every trip. But in reality, these things don't happen all that often. So when you get something like that, you really do have to savor it.
Exactly. It's one of those unplanned memories, which I think are sometimes the best. Like, you can plan and plan and plan, but it's the random thing that happens that's going to most likely stick with you long after all the planning is done. Oh, if that makes sense.
Oh, it totally makes sense. And that's why we have the podcast. That's why we love sharing these stories. So, Kim, thank you so much for taking the time to share these awesome stories. I'm sure everybody's smiling along. Lord knows we need this on a Monday. So thanks again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Of course, thank you for having me.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends at touringplans.com. When you head down to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even Universal, you don't want to stand in lines. You want to go have fun times like meeting Mickey Mouse in Town Square. And they're going to help you avoid the lines. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And again, please support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. Anytime you do that shopping on Amazon, you can support the show at the same time. It's just beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. And we've got a great Facebook group over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get back to work. We'll be back again on Wednesday with more of your listener questions. So for Cam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.